Welcome to Rise and Thrive. We're your hosts, Brianna
and Josie. Join us on a journey to rise above the chaos, embrace growth, and thrive in every chapter of life. To give you a little background, Bree and I are roommates here at Chapman University. As of 2 years ago, last year was our first year, so this is our second year living together. And we actually were abroad last semester and just got back for our final semester of our senior year. And we really decided that it was time for us to share some of our wonderful conversations with the world, because we felt like everybody was missing out, because we are just constantly learning from each other and growing together. And yeah,
it's been an amazing journey having Josie in my life.
Oh my gosh, stop. We're also constantly friend flirting with each other, so get used to it. So we're just going to kind of start by diving into how we met, because that's a really big part of kind of how we realized that we share mindsets. And right off the bat, I just noticed that Brianna was a very positive person. And that is something that we want to share with you, because we want you to be able to develop positive friendships in your own life. So I guess we're just going to start with, also, right now I'm giving Brianna full reins to cut me off at any point, because Josie James is many things, and one of those is a rambler, and sometimes I need a mute button, so literally just hit the off switch on my mic. But I'm going to start by kind of diving into how we met.
Yes, that'd be amazing.
I'm going to start by diving into how we met, because I feel like my whole transfer process and everything really impacted that. So one thing about me is I grew up in Minnesota, and you might hear my accent. I don't think I have one, but that's an ongoing Chapman debate. So I grew up in Minnesota and went to a very big public high school in the freezing cold, and just decided that I needed a huge switch after graduation, and I wanted to go to a smaller school somewhere like California. Actually, I don't know why. I had never even visited California, but something in me told me I needed to go here. So I only applied to schools in California.
I also only applied to schools in California.
See, it was just meant to be. Like, that just goes to show, if you have a
inclination to be somewhere,
follow it.
Yeah. Do it.
So, however, I'm a hypocrite in this scenario, because I didn't do that. So I applied to one backup option, which is literally against my morals, because I don't really agree in giving yourself a backup option. I think if you want something, make it happen. But I panicked and I applied to the University of Minnesota among my like 8 California schools. And I was like, I'll just have it as a backup in case something goes wrong. And I got into Chapman, and everything just like seemed right. I had family friends that went here, and it just like seemed like a good place for me. I had a college counselor tell me it was a good place for me. Everything really aligned. One thing I loved about Chapman was it's in such a good location. I just felt so connected to like the old town feel, and it just felt like the peaceful environment I was looking for. But also, this was from Google Images. I like didn't even visit, and I was like, yep, I'm going here. And of course, I was all over Instagram, like stalking all the sororities and things. And I was like, everyone looks so cool. Like everyone at this school is so artsy and amazing. And that's who I wanted to be. And then I committed here, got all my merch, decision day rolled around, took all the cute pics, and I went home. And for some reason, after seeing everyone at my school wearing their University of Minnesota, like in-state college shirts where my parents went, my brother went to one of the University of Minnesota schools, whatever, my grandparents went there, I was like, yep, I'm going to Minnesota. I don't know why. So I ripped off my shirt and put on my Minnesota merch and was like, Mom, I don't know why, but my feet are awfully cold. I am not going through with this. So also, I think you're already probably understanding at this point that I've never told a long story short in my whole life.
No, but that's one of the traits I do love about you, though, because I love how much detail you include in all your stories, because me, I tend to just cut to the point and I forget all the important details that like really draw in a listener.
Well, not all of them are important, but they help me.
They do add, yeah.
Learn from my own experiences, which is always a bonus. So yeah, I decided to go to the University of Minnesota, and right off the bat, I went through recruitment and thought I was going to join a sorority, because that's something that just like everyone from my hometown did, and all the girls from my high school that went there did. My aunts did it, neighbors, whatever. And I was like, what you do if you grow up in Minnesota is you go to the University of Minnesota and you join a sorority, and that's how it works.
Totally.
So I went and went through recruitment right off the bat, and for some reason, I did not feel like myself at all. And in all the houses I was talking to, I just like didn't feel like I was putting forth my true self. I felt like I went into it thinking I had to be someone else, because mm-hmm. I wanted like the same sororities that picked all the quote unquote cool girls from my school to pick me as well. And
it's a lot of pressure going through recruitment.
It is. And I put a lot of pressure on myself because I thought that that was going to determine my college experience.
Mm-hmm. A lot of schools that does. It does determine who mm-hmm. you hang out with, your friends, what you're invited to.
Mm-hmm. And so, long story short, oh, wow, I guess I am capable of that. I didn't get into any of the sororities that I wanted, and I have never been so hard on myself. I thought that it was because I wasn't good enough and nobody wanted me, when in reality, like, that has nothing to do with your self-worth.
No, not at all.
And it's not personal at all. And so I immediately after that was like, I'm not meant to be here. Like, why did I go here? I literally chose this school because I was going to join, quote, like this sorority and live this lifestyle. And I just mm-hmm. had it all decided in my brain and literally no open-mindedness. So that really only left me with one option, and that was heartbreak. And I was so sad.
Aww.
And I lived on the sorority floor of my dorm. So every other girl joined the sorority that they wanted. I'm sure not actually every girl got the sorority they wanted, but that's how it looked from my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I really just felt like every Monday, all the girls would go to chapter. Every weekend, they would all go out. And I just really didn't feel like I had any sense of community. And I wasn't really open to trying to find that in any other way, joining any clubs, anything like that. So I just kind of decided right then and there that my college experience sucked and it wasn't gonna be my peak. And I was like, maybe I'll take some time off. Maybe I'll just like push through these years, graduate as early as possible, and then peak later in life, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just really had the hardest time making friends. I felt like I was only going to make friends when I was able to join a sorority the next year or whatever. And so every time I would go out, I would talk to like specific sorority girls and not really put myself out there. And I wasn't really going to places to make friends, if that makes sense. I just was going to places to
put... Like, you're not your authentic self to the fullest, you know?
No, not at all. And I slowly realized how suffocating that felt. And so every weekend, after a few months of that, I just realized, like, I needed to focus on myself. And so the first way I started doing that is I really just started going home all the time. And would spend...
Well, when you live that close to home, I'm sure it's probably hard to not want to go home.
Oh my gosh,
especially
it was
when you're
so
not
hard.
Enjoying yourself.
I didn't learn how to do laundry my entire freshman year because
that's
I would bring
it home.
That's the
classic freshman story.
Yep, I would bring it home every single weekend. I wanted my home-cooked meals. I wanted to cry to my parents and get a pity party, and that's what I got every weekend. walks with the dogs. They were my closest friends at the time. But then I really, after a while of going home every single weekend and feeling sorry for myself, my mom was like, you literally, I'm locking the car doors and not coming to get you. You have to stay there and find a way to enjoy your college experience.
Wow.
So I decided to stay on campus a lot, but this is when I really learned to spend time alone and learn that, like, those fake friendships that I had going out and doing things I didn't want to do weren't supporting me and figuring out what I wanted and what I could change in my life. So I decided that it was time to just start going to the library on a Saturday night and doing homework alone and just kind of figuring out who Josie was and working on bettering herself. And so I would spend Saturdays waking up, going to the gym, and just journaling and diving into my problems. And that's when I started to explore other options and was like, maybe I need to enter a new environment to really feel this sense of growth. And maybe the reason things aren't working out for me is because I didn't follow my intuition, which was telling me the place for you to grow and succeed is Chapman University, is in California, is in a new environment. And instead, I felt so stuck. And maybe I started to think that maybe I was growing and my environment wasn't, and that's why I felt so out of place.
That's a big realization to have, too.
Yeah.
Especially growing up in the same place and then going to college with all the same people that you grew up with. It's hard to grow where you always have been with all the same people. And
Totally. So... yeah, then I started to apply literally all over. I was like, as far as I can get. I actually committed to going to do a... So my old school used to have this program where you could go study abroad at another, like, college in the United States for a year and just pay in-state tuition at your school, still be a student at your school, but just do, like, a almost exchange swap thing. So I was like, done. I'm there. University of Hawaii at Manoa. Here comes Josie James.
I love
Buckle
that.
Up. And I was fully ready to go. And then one of my cousins was getting married. This was around February in California, Orange County. They lived in Huntington Beach. And I was like, I'm going. I came out here and literally fell in love. I remember going to, we stayed at the, like, villas and the Marriott villas in Newport across from, like, Pelican Hill.
Oh, I love.
And we walked down to the beach, Crystal Cove, and
oh,
I just remember watching the sunset and crying and being like, I can't believe this could be my life. Like, I've never felt so at peace by the ocean. I would never get sick of, like, working on myself here because there's just so...
It is so beautiful. We're so lucky to be so close to Newport and Laguna and everything.
I mean... Even Orange, even just looking
even
at
orange.
The palm trees, everything just felt so new and like what I needed to really be the person I wanted to be. So I got home and I was like, oh, dang, like I really wish I would have gotten to Chapman, whatever. I'm going to Hawaii next year. It'll be amazing. And then I was like, just for funsies, let's see if I could theoretically transfer. And I pulled up the application for transfer students and it was due that night.
Oh my gosh, what are the odds?
Actually, I lied.
Okay.
I'm exaggerating. I'm going to start calling myself out on some of my exaggerations.
Still.
It was due the following day because I landed on a
Even
Sunday.
That is still
it was
crazy.
Due Monday night, and that is not a lie. And so
your intuition was telling you to.
It was. It just all aligned perfectly. Like, it could have been the day before. No, it was the day after. However, I had to write all these essays, so I stayed up all night writing all my supplements, doing everything, and then I realized I needed a letter from an advisor at my current college, and I was like, I literally don't talk to any of my professors here. That's another thing about how, like, I did not feel like it was the right environment for me to grow and succeed is the University of Minnesota is such a great school, and mom and dad, if you're listening, good choice. But I am somebody who clearly gets easily distracted and needs to be held accountable. And being in classrooms of like 400 students is really, really hard to learn.
No, there's probably not much sense of community. It's harder to meet people.
Yeah, also hard to show up. I barely ever would show face. Totally. Also, sorry, mom and dad, didn't waste your money. Then I was like, I don't know any of my professors. Like, how am I going to, in one day, how am I going to get them to write me an entire letter about why I should be able to go to Chapman, why I'm a good student? They're going to be like, who's Josie James? Like, ChatGPT wasn't around. They couldn't help me. Like, I don't know. So then I really started to panic and contacted my college counselor who helped me pick Chapman in the first place. And I just kind of told her about my situation. She's like, Josie, I just got hired as an advisor at the University of Minnesota. I'm just going to say I'm your advisor and write you a letter. She wrote it that day. I got it all submitted, had everything in by like, I don't know, 6 p.m. or something in the evening. And it was due at midnight. I was like, score, I'm all good. Well, then what's the whole thing where we applied to colleges? Common App. Common App was down.
No.
So I was like, are you kidding me? Like, calling my parents in tears. Well, that kind of happens every day. So they're like, okay, well, Josie, what's the big deal? Like, you stub your toe again? I'm like, no, I can't go to Chapman. The whole system is down. I did all this work, whatever. Then Chapman University sends out an email and they're like, we heard Common App is down. We're extending all like deadlines. So I got it all in time and it was amazing. And wow, 20 minutes of my college transfer story. We're not even done, but we're getting there.
Where do I come into the picture?
Eventually. Actually, literally not for like a year after this, but we'll get there. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I had no light in my life yet at this point. I got in, obviously, and everything just kind of felt like it was aligning. At first, I couldn't get housing. That all worked out, whatever. And I decided it was time to leave. I literally feel so bad. I barely said goodbye to anyone at my school. I didn't tell anyone I was transferring.
You got accepted at Chapman.
Yeah. It was just, I'm out of here. Changed my Instagram bio. They were all very so confused. Yeah. I literally saw a bunch of them this summer and they're like, where did you go? Like, it's been 2 years. I'm like, I'm a different person. You know the old Josie. Don't talk to me. No, I'm just kidding. They're decent. If you're listening, I love you. But anyways, sorry, we see some friends, so we're saying hi. Okay, I feel like the pressure's on. But anyways, so then I transferred here, and I was with two random roommates that were super sweet to me, but I just kind of felt like they all already had their own friends and everything, and I was having the hardest time meeting people. I mean, I just like...
Well, the apartment complex that you moved in at Chapman was... It was far from campus. You walked around the halls, didn't run into anyone. It was almost like a ghost town of an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine your first semester being at Chapman in, I don't want to call out Chapman, but in Chapman Grand, it was so hard to even meet people.
No, exactly. That's a really good point. Brie and I both this was the universe wanting us to be together.
We lived on the same floor.
We lived on the same floor in the same building.
Yet we never met because this building was just a maze. I would get lost all the time.
It was. And so at my old school, literally nobody had cars because you would just like walk to class and everybody lived like right on campus. So when I came out here, I was like, I don't need my car. Like, good riddance. Save the environment. I'm walking. Yeah. And then I realized my apartment building is so-called
in Anaheim.
Yeah, it's on-campus housing, they call it.
We're all the way in Orange. Chapman is in Orange.
Yeah.
Like,
so we were, what, 15 minutes away from school?
Yeah, we're in a different city.
And I found out I had to take the shuttle to school every day again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am back to kindergarten Josie. Like, this is crazy. I would get up every morning and wait for my little bus to come. And actually, huge, huge shout out to the shuttle drivers. They're some of my favorite staff at this school. And maybe we should bring some of them on someday. They probably have some Josie stories.
I know. I bet they'd have really cool stories to share, actually.
I think so. And so, yeah. I just was having the hardest time meeting anybody. I kind of felt like in the long run, it really was such a blessing that it took me a while to meet people. Because part of the thing is, I was meeting people, but after my past experience at the University of Minnesota, my standards for friendship were so high because I had just since then developed such a deeper understanding of who I was, and I wasn't going to settle for people who didn't support that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just wanted to be around like-minded individuals who were really focused on self-growth as well. So I do feel like I had a hard time giving people a chance just because I had so many barriers up.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my weekends and weekdays, literally every day, were Josie time. And
that's totally okay too.
It is. And I really just fell in love with the process of bettering myself. And that meant literally I started getting up at 4:45 a.m. when I transferred schools.
Yeah.
Because I just decided it was time for a new Josie. And I would wake up, go to the gym, journal, meditate, do all that, go to class. But I took only 8 a.m. So I was like, I had to be the first
one. That's like really holding yourself accountable, mm-hmm. too, to waking up early, having your routine.
Mm-hmm. And so I just really was focused on myself. My weekends were going to the farmer's market by myself, going to yoga lattes here on campus by myself, shuttling home, and then having healthy baking movie night or watching Gilmore Girls. And I didn't mind it. I didn't feel alone.
No, you were very content too, you mm-hmm. know?
Because I wasn't alone. I had myself and my thoughts. And trust me, there were a lot of them. So
then how did you decide to take the step to go through recruitment again?
So this was actually Sandy James doing. after she saw that I was pretty much my closest friend here, my mother decided that I should really give it another shot, but I was so scarred from the last time that I really was not interested, and it was pretty much decided I was not doing it. And then I went home for winter break, and she just really talked me into giving it another go. So I, again, was super hesitant. I was like, yes, I'm gonna try it, but I don't plan on joining one. I'm just going to do it to meet people, and that'll be that. And then my mom and I won't have to have this argument anymore, and we'll be all good. So I came back. I got all my new dresses, whatever. And I remember going through recruitment, and this is like the most cliche sorority girl thing ever to say, but I remember walking into the sorority that I ended up joining and just feeling like I loved the energy. It was so not what you would expect of, like, when you see, this was at the time of like Bama mm-hmm. Rush and stuff, and you would expect like super formal. No, it was like bringing on the energy, so fun, so exciting. And every girl I talked to just felt like talking to a mirror. Like, and I love talking to myself. I do it all the time. So I'm like, this could not be better. And guess who I talked to?
This voice right here.
Yeah, I met Brianna during recruitment.
I remember talking to Josie, and I was talking to her, and then I was like, so what year are you? And then the minute that she said she was the same year as you, my whole demeanor changed, because I realized I was talking to someone who's the same age as me, of uh-huh. course, and you're not like, oh, a younger girl. I saw you as like, oh my gosh, this, I want to be friends with her, you know?
And that's what I really appreciated about Brie, is it didn't feel like I was talking to a superior or anybody that was like, oh, like, you're like little and should join our sorority. And that kind of is what it felt like being a sophomore going through recruitment, because I felt like it's mostly girls that are younger than the girls already in the sororities that are joining it. But Bree just talked to me as a friend, and it was so informal. And I was like, yeah, this girl is so cool. I remember stalking her on Instagram the minute I got home that night, the minute I shuttled home at like midnight.
Keyword,
in my
that's a big part of the story. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was amazing. Obviously, it worked out. I joined her sorority. So fun.
Yes.
And then
we got assigned on a sister date.
We did, which is funny because I feel like bigs and littles are usually like a girl in the grade above and then a girl in the grade below.
Uh-huh.
And I remember getting Brianna and I was like, oh, interesting. Well,
I feel me too. I was like, also go.
But. Well, I would hope so.
Well, of course.
She blows me off.
No, I would never do that.
You would have been missing out. And so she was so sweet. She drove me and we got Contra and I had never been before. And literally right off the bat, I was like, yeah, this girl is so cool. I remember getting her car and she played The Neighborhood. And I was like, oh my God, like we were meant to be friends. I literally texted my brother and I was like, Jackson, like, this girl I'm with is so cool. She actually doesn't just... Actually, I'm not going to say any specific artists, but I was like, she doesn't listen to basic music. Like, I didn't even realize... Okay, The Neighborhood
music
isn't even
who
niche,
someone is,
but I was
too.
Just like, yeah, she's cool. And so...
We were talking at over coffee. And
yeah, and there was no silence. Literally
no,
like
not
this.
At all.
Yeah. And it just all clicked so well. And I was telling Bree that I usually shuttle to school, and she's like, not anymore.
Well, we started talking. I was like, what time do you shuttle? I have class at this time. You had class at the same time as me. And so I was like, I will drive you with me. Like, I'd rather not go alone either, you know?
Yeah. And it was literally the greatest blessing. And so every day, Bree started driving me to school, and it was so fun. It was the highlight of my morning, whatever, but... The one thing was, I am, like, prompt. Like, I mean, again, I was waking up at, like, 5 a.m.
Yes, so you're ready to
go.
So
I'm tapping my toe by 6:45, and we don't need to leave until, what, like, 10:30? And,
and I'm, like, a type B personality. Like, there's time.
She's like, it's like class starts at 11. Like, it's 10:59. And Bree's like,
and
do you think we should leave
soon? And it takes us 10 minutes to get there.
Yeah.
15 minutes to get there.
And so I was so, like... excited about this new friendship and thought she was just so cool that I didn't want to blow it. So I would never be like, do you think we should leave soon? I'd just be like,
which
yeah,
I would not
whenever
have even
you're
been
ready,
mad if you said
whenever
that.
You're ready. And I remember one time like thinking she left without me and I went to her room and she's just like making breakfast in there. So I just helped her do the dishes and was like, hopefully this will speed up the process, but it was a blast. And yeah, I think this will obviously lead us into our next topics, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Josie and I talk a lot about how when you're first meeting friends, it's like, we should hang out, we should do something. But then when I told Josie, like, I'll drive you to school, I actually wanted to follow through with that and be a reliable and consistent person. And I feel like since we built a friendship on the foundation of being consistent and reliable, that's how it's always been. I can rely on Josie for nearly everything.
Aw, same to you. Yeah, and I think with that, it just showed me a lot about Bree's heart and how she really is all into something. Because she's never going to say she's going to do something and not do it. And so if she's like, yeah, I'll drive you, like, every day.
I totally meant it when I said it.
She means it. And she means, like, we're going to get close. This is going to happen. I'm not just, like, some girl running into you on campus and being like, let's hang out soon.
That's
and then never texting you.
That's my least favorite thing
in
the world.
It's her biggest pet peeve.
It is my pet peeve. It's just empty words.
Mm-hmm. And also something about Bree and I's friendship, or something I really learned from it, was that sometimes the initial energy can, like, really tell you about what a friendship is going to become. Mm-hmm. And it taught me to really dive into that. And if you just notice yourself being able to, like, laugh with somebody right off the bat and, like, make the same jokes, or like, oh my god, I was gonna say that, like, that could mean so much about what that friendship could be, because odds are your energies are aligned,
totally,
and you're in a similar place in terms of personal growth and all of that. So I would say just really dive into that and develop a need for awareness, and that also comes with just being really present and in the moment.
Yeah.
So,
and notice how you feel when you're around the person. I remember the second I was driving Josie to class every day, I didn't feel like I needed to filter myself. I didn't feel like I couldn't tell her things in my life. I just was saying whatever came to my mind, and Josie would listen, and then when she would say things, I would listen. But I feel like in the beginning, I was a big talker.
You were, and I was loving it, because I'm like, oh my god, this cool girl at Chapman is telling me all these things about boys and everything, and I was just ready to listen.
Friends and people that you hadn't even known yet, and I was just like telling you about like girls in my classes and little stories, and I didn't feel like I was. What I was saying to you was going to get repeated or anything. Just a trustworthy ear.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I can't tell you how many people I met at Chapman before Bree. But again, like I said, I was just being like so picky with where I really poured in my energy. And with her, it just felt so easy. And like there was no like deciding of like, am I really going to
judging.
Like, trust her? There was no judgment whatsoever. And this goes into another thing that I'm really passionate about. I feel like when you meet somebody and, like, in terms of diving into energy and things, sometimes a simple, like, how are you can end with a good. Yes. And that's the end of it. And you're like, okay, maybe that person is having an off day or whatever. But other people, you can say, hi, how are you? And it ends with, like, a 45-minute conversation where you're questioning your existence and being like, but let's talk about how humans evolve. Like, Bree and I just go anywhere. And again, that just really shows me how aligned we are. And so I feel like I've just developed a really deeper awareness for all of my conversations since then. And just knowing that, like, it's not a bad thing if a conversation ends good. Or you're just like, oh, I'm good today. Like, see you soon. Good to see you. Whatever. But there are those people where you just, like, align so heavily that it doesn't even feel like effort to pour those things out.
It's like I'm speaking. Of course, I always think when I speak, but I'm speaking and I'm not having to force conversation or think of what's the next thing I'm going to say, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. So kind of progressing, I want us to quickly get into just with my whole transfer story and everything, I really want us to dive into three things we wish we would have known about ourselves, or just advice to our younger self prior to college, because obviously with my whole 30-minute transfer story, there's so much
it's
I wish
a good
I could tell
story.
That. There's so much I wish I could tell young, confused, stressed Josie. And again, I'm grateful I didn't know these things because they shaped my whole story and allowed me to meet everybody I met, being Brianna, and now having our cute little podcast on Chapman Radio, and it all worked out so well. But I just think it would be fun to kind of dive into what these things would be.
Totally.
So if you would want to start, Brianna, and tell us three things you would tell your younger self.
So if I were to talk to freshman Brianna, or even just younger self, I would say that...
Yeah, we can go with freshmen.
Yeah, we can go with freshmen. So my freshman year, I ended up becoming best friends with... I mean, she's my big now. She graduated, so she's not at Chapman anymore. But anyways, I would say to not be afraid to say hi. And coming to a new campus with new people, and sometimes it feels like everyone already has their friends, and it can be a little intimidating to see someone that you think is so cool and you want to say hi, but then you don't really know what to do. But
just saying hi
and just in a natural way. But once you break that barrier of saying hi, it becomes way easier to like begin to talk to people and create more conversations and people are way more friendlier than you think. And
and if I could just chime in real quick, I feel like, especially as a freshman, like, everybody's there, everybody's scared, and everybody wants to meet people.
Everyone wants to make friends.
And if they don't want to be friends with you, like, that's their loss. And you put yourself out there, and what do you have to lose? Like,
no, nothing.
Yeah.
And one of my closest friends, she's actually my roommate, I thought her outfit was so cool. I sat next to her on the first day of class, and I just said, "Hi, I think your outfit's so cool." Fast forward, she lives with me and Josie now.
Is this Rachel?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. One thing about our roommate Rachel that you need to know is she literally has the coolest outfits in the world.
Yeah, she does.
I wish you could see us, because if
I know
we ever wanted to pull up in amazing outfits, it would probably be courtesy of Rachel. But anyhow.
And me.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, just taking that first step to say hi to someone, you never know where that's going to lead you. And even if it's just a hi, that and that's it, at least you have a new acquaintance, a new friend, a new face.
And at least you did that practice of putting yourself out there, because it seriously only gets easier with
it
time.
It does. It
the
really,
more and more you do
I can't stress that enough. And it's a muscle, and the more you practice it, the stronger it gets. And I noticed that even in my daily life now, I can pretty much just walk around, and I'm not shy to say hi to someone, rarely. Or if I see someone, I'll just ask them a question. You never know what it's going to lead to.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was so afraid to say hi to people. I remember my first friend I made at Chapman was Kiki. Maybe we'll bring her on at some point. Super sweet girl. And we're still super close, but I remember debating saying hi to her for 15 minutes in the Chapman or in the on-campus Starbucks line. And I texted my mom, and I'm like, this girl is, like, so pretty, and I want to be her friend, and she's so cool, but, like, I don't know what to say. So after 20 minutes of going back and forth with myself about it, I complimented her nails, and immediately we hit it off, and now she's one of my closest friends.
Yeah.
But that was so hard to me in the moment, and after that, it just got easier every time, and now I go on my daily walks throughout Old Town Orange and probably make 80 friends every day.
Yeah.
They're, like, older individuals with cute dogs or families or whatever it is. It's just fun, and it becomes fun when you get confident in who you are and putting yourself out there.
Yeah, and I feel like with our generation, it's almost become a little weird to just talk to strangers, but the more I just go around and say hi to people, the easier it gets, and the more friendly and confident I feel within myself. And what's the worst that's gonna happen? No one's gonna be like, oh, that girl's so weird, she said hi to me, like, and I don't know her. That's the whole point. I don't know you, and I'm saying hi.
Totally.
And then, so that's probably that would conclude my first little advice to myself, is don't be afraid to say hi. And my second one would be, you always have to be your biggest advocate and cheerleader. And the friendship with yourself is one of the most important friendships that you're going to have. And through the ups and downs of college, you need to give yourself grace and talk to yourself like someone you love. And sometimes there are frustrating times, or even in your classes, you're like, oh, I studied so hard. I wasted so many hours studying and I didn't even get an A. But you just have to be patient with yourself and tell yourself, you know what, I'm so smart, I tried. It gets better. And then,
yeah, I totally agree, because you are your best friend.
You are.
And so speak to yourself that way.
Yeah, and not even in the academic sense, but also just every day, it really impacts the way you carry yourself. And even making friends, I noticed that I tend to gravitate towards friends who talk to themselves in, like, a gentle way, because energy is very contagious, and you want to be around people who are uplifting. But how can you be around someone who's not even, let me think of what I'm trying to say, kind to themselves?
Well, I think it's, exactly. And I think it's like, you have to know what you're worth to find people who value you as that version as well. Because if you don't think you're worth anything, you're going to attract people who also don't treat you like anything. So it's all about just being so confident of who you are and what you deserve that you don't settle for anybody who's going to treat you as less than that.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And along with being your biggest cheerleader, it's also important to spend quality time with yourself, which is something that I've been practicing lately. I just went to the beach alone for the first time after being at Chapman for 4 years. I've never gone to the beach alone. And I had the most amazing time. And I think that sometimes doing things alone can be somewhat daunting at first. But I mean, I've always been the person who constantly likes having a buddy to do something with. But practicing doing things alone, sitting at a restaurant and eating or getting food that you like, it's really, once you're doing it, I don't know why there's a buildup of anxiety before doing it. But then once you're living in the moment and you're just eating and you're having a good time, there's nothing scary about it.
And I think this is where Bree and I really differ, when I really went through that tough time in college and transferring and everything, I became so comfortable being alone and so comfortable bettering myself that I could do everything and anything alone, and I love it. I wake up every day, I do my whole journaling, I go for like 20 million walks a week all by myself, and I'm just in my thoughts, I'm listening to podcasts, and I'm having the time of my life. But I also do love being with other people, and that's a super important part of human existence, is learning from other individuals and sharing experiences and having those fun social interactions. So I think Bree and I offer each other a really good balance, because she encourages me to spend more time with her and we have fun together and those laughs that I wouldn't have by myself. But I also kind of maybe show her what it's like to just pour into yourself and not be afraid to go be with Bree.
And I can do things alone. It's not that I can't do things alone. I can. I feel like most of the time I opt not to, just because I do enjoy company. But sometimes I think it's good to pick company that is going to make you happier to be around, because there's a difference between not wanting to do something alone so you just take along whoever's free, and then also being, I don't want to say the word picky, but I mean, it is important to be picky who you surround yourself with. Yeah, but selective of who you share your energy and share your time with. And so I think drawing a line between hanging out with someone because they're free and it's convenient versus hanging out with someone because you genuinely want to enjoy their company and want to be spending quality time with them. Okay. And then my last little advice to my younger self would be that outgrowing friendships is okay. And it's okay to outgrow friendships, and growth and change is normal. But it doesn't mean friendships have failed. It only provides valuable life lessons. And that something my mom always tells me is that people are in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I think as a freshman, there's such a constant urge to just make friends with everyone, and it's okay to drift apart, because over the course of 4 years you're gonna grow a lot. And so that would be my three.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for sharing, Bree. Actually, that literally ties right into my first advice to my younger self as well. I wrote, don't be afraid to leave an environment that isn't supporting your growth. Mm-hmm. And for me, that really meant leaving the University of Minnesota for Chapman, leaving those old friendships from high school of all the girls that then went to University of Minnesota. But also that I wrote that growing out of old friendships isn't a bad thing. All friends and relationships serve a purpose in our lives and teach us something meaningful. But with that, that doesn't mean that all of them have to stay and have to last. And Brianna kind of touched on this, but it's not a failure to ever have any sort of interaction with anybody, because you're going to learn something about yourself. You're going to make memories, and it's all serving you in the moment. It just doesn't mean that it has to be permanent. Back to more of a physical environment and setting, I would also just say, like, put yourself in an environment that supports who you want to be. And I felt like the University of Minnesota wasn't supporting the Josie I wanted to become. It was supporting the comfort of my well-being in that moment, or so I thought. And so, yeah, it can just be super scary at first. And I came here without knowing anybody after going to a school where everyone from my high school went and we all lived 5 minutes away from home. But I just would have never had the room to become who I wanted to be if I was stuck in that box. So then we're kind of doing speed round. We got 5 minutes left. My next bullet point would just be to really fall in love with the process of getting to know yourself. And this is kind of back to spending time alone too. I used to be somebody who hated spending time alone because I always felt like I needed to be surrounded around other people. And I think this is really because I wasn't happy and I wasn't in a good place, and I knew that. And so I was scared to sit with my thoughts and really process what those were. And so when I really decided to just accept all of my thoughts and my realities, both positive and negative, I was able to decide what I wanted to change in my life and who I wanted to become. And what I needed to do to start acting as the person that I wanted to become, because I'm really a firm believer that you have to act as your highest self to become that. And so,
I mean, it's the whole fake it till you make it, right?
Exactly, which is such an important mantra. And this also meant just having friends that supported me, going to a school that could help me achieve my dreams, cultivating a healthy and happy mind and body, and just like really knowing that if you force yourself to go into those environments and situations that you know are necessary to achieve growth, I mean, duh, that's how you're gonna get there.
Yeah, you have to take that leap.
And I love the quote. It's something like, I'm probably gonna butcher it, but it's something like, the difference between the current version of yourself and the person you want to be is the thing you're most afraid of doing. And so that really sometimes just means ripping the Band-Aid off and
taking that and jump and doing
exactly, exactly. And then this also goes hand in hand with the fear of missing out and FOMO, because I'm just now so in love with the person I've become that I never feel like I'm missing out if I'm simply just hanging out with Josie and bettering her. And then lastly, I would tell freshman Josie that not everyone is going to understand you and not everyone has to. I've always been a chronic people pleaser, and I hate the thought of letting other people down, but this really held me back from becoming who I wanted to be, and missing out on things that I knew were really meant for me. I just think that one of the most beautiful parts of the human experience is that we're all different. I mean, how boring would it be if we all lived the same life? So don't make it a priority to have other people accept and agree with all of your decisions, because at the end of the day, your decisions should reflect who you are and who you want to be, and not who others want you to be.
I love that.
And this also goes for daily routine too. Sometimes people might not understand why you want to like go for a walk and journal instead of staying up late the night before and sleeping in. But if that's what fuels your happiest self, then it doesn't have to make sense to anyone else. And I can't tell you, actually, I would say that's so much better than going somewhere that you don't want to be and where you don't feel is right. Because I can't tell you how many times I've gone to places that I didn't want to go for the sole purpose of pleasing other people. And I've just realized that it actually ends up harming everyone there more if you go, because nobody wins, because you're unable to show up as your true and authentic self if your true and authentic self doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So honestly, that was perfect timing. It's 5:49. We're supposed to wrap up in 1 minute. And I just really want to thank Bree for sitting here and listening to Rambling Josie in full force.
No.
And all of you for tuning in. Hopefully somebody was listening. But if not, we benefited from this.
Yes.
So, yeah. Any final thoughts, Bree?
I'm just so grateful to have this podcast with one of my best friends, Josie James. She's the best.
Aw, I love you. So be sure to tune in every Sunday and follow us on Instagram. And yeah, just stay in the loop and rise to your highest self.
Rise and thrive.
So you can thrive, baby. Love ya.